So friends, let us begin today's discussion on Bhagavad Gita, the 17th chapter, with our usual chant. Vande Vamsidharam Krishna Smayamanam Mukha पीताम्बरधरं नीलं माल्यचन्दनभूषितं राधाचित्तचकोरेन्दुं सौन्दर्य परात्परतरं देवं ब्रह्मानन्द कृपानिधिं ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वाम् अनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेष्णी. As we had been studying in this weekly studies on Bhagavad Gita, that the 17th chapter is understanding of the different types of faith that a person has and how the personal constitution determines the nature of somebody's faith, and that faith is really a characteristic, or in fact the most determining characteristic of a person's life and awareness. The very strong statement that Bhagavad Gita made there, yo yat shraddha sa eva saha, that as is one's faith, so is that person. Every person has a faith, a Shraddha. And according to that person's Shraddha, the nature of the life of that person will take shape. And therefore we see so much of distinction in the approaches that people take to various things, relation between I and the world is so different for every individual. I am so and so, and the world is such and such. And this is a very basic, most fundamental faith that everybody has as the basis of their behavior. I am such and such, and this world is this. I have to get this from the world. And what we seek from the world depends on my faith that the world has this, and this is going to fulfill my lacuna, my shortcomings, they will be augmented, complemented by getting this thing in the world. So the world is seen as having those things. We all have this idea that this is something that will be very satisfying for me in this world, and I have a faith that this world has this there. And thus my actions get determined. And thus we see people working for various different ideals and ideas in their life. So saying that I have faith in scriptures doesn't mean that your faith, all those who have faith in scriptures, will be doing exactly similar things, because the faith has categorization, and we saw the nature of this categorization too, very psychologically descriptive, and also very important to understand that yes, this has the elements of what is called the sattva, the rajas and tamas, and that permeate, these elements permeate in and through whatever we do. So we should be aware of these things, because when we want to alter our behavior or our life as such, then we need to understand what really are the governing factors. Many behaviorologists, they only have this idea that it is the response to an external stimulus that governs the behavior of a person. That is not really true, in fact not true at all. The same external stimulus will be exciting the response in different persons very differently. It is not same at all, and that is determined by the inner constitution, the mental getup, the hidden impressions, and all such very deep rooted things which shape or which come out in the form of these important attitudes characterized as sattvika, rajasika and tamasika. So this study therefore assumes a great importance in controlling and guiding our actual behavior. As we were discussing earlier, a few classes ago, that these chapter 16th and 17th does not contain any great philosophical truths, but they contain lot of psychological inputs, very useful for properly conducting our spiritual life, and therefore they need to be studied paying great attention. For a practical person who wants to actualize these truths in life, therefore these things become really very significant. We saw earlier that how the austerities or penances are performed by people as a matter of spiritual practice. That you ask a person, any person who says that I am spiritual or I am religious has some controlling discipline in the life, and it usually takes form of an obvious penance or an austerity, like yes, we don't eat meat on Fridays, or we do not go and do such and such things on such days, or we absolutely do not eat onions and garlics and any such thing that could excite the mental stuff. This is connected with food, interestingly, because it is the food that we see makes our body and also contributes in a big way in governing our minds. Our various types of foods, they make our temperament also a bit different, and therefore the penances usually take form of fasting or abstaining from certain things, or you know, like not wearing warm garments in winter. Let the winter come, but I will not use warm garments, or I will not use any external this heat. I will endure that. So it is a form of austerity. Some people can undertake that. Something that is not very comfortable, and yet if practiced in the right manner, it can bring control over our personality. Many things which otherwise against our wish keep on governing our lives. For example, the desire to eat many things. Although I don't want to do it, yet the habits, the impressions, they propel us to eat a few things, and so I need to put a certain discipline to control it. So I take vows, and then these vows are exercised. Many people do fasting for that reason, so that they can establish certain control on their personality. We have the tendency to sleep and do not want to get up early. Means we want, but when the time comes to get up, that the mind doesn't want to listen to that alarm that is sounding, or even if it gets heard, you press the button to stop it and tell yourself, well, another 5 minutes and I will get up, and it becomes hour and a half, and then it happens. So you have to put yourself under a much stricter discipline to overcome this control of sleep over you. So the sleep has such a big control that it comes when you don't want it to come, and it may not come when you want it to come. So a big problem, you know, that when you want that, now I want to sleep, and then you keep on inviting sleep, it may refuse to come. And when you want to get up and sit for meditation, no sooner than you just sit for meditation, and then the Omkara sound, Om, starts coming from the nose of that person. It is so It is like that. You have to see how this can be controlled. So people take up various types of penances for that. The attitudes, they differ because of the preponderance of the sattva, rajas and tamas in life. It is told that how a sattvic person performs this penance for austerities. The 17th verse tells us this threefold austerity practiced with great faith by men who desire no fruit and are steadfast is said to be sattvika. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham narayihi afalakamshibhir yuktaihi sattvikam parichakshate. The threefold that we have seen earlier, the austerity of the body, austerity of the speech and austerity of the mind. So all these three aspects need to be put under control. So a sattvika person performs the austerities at all these three levels. How? That with great faith. That yes, I must perform this. Performance of this is right for me. It is good for me. The sages have prescribed it, and therefore I am undertaking it. And there is nothing, no desire for results associated with it. Afalakamshibhir. That there is no idea that by performing this austerity, I will get something in the world. Austerity generates lot of energy, because as you gain control, the power also becomes available to you. This is how the austerities generate power in a person. And really by using that, people can get anything. It is said that by practicing austerities, you can get anything except one. And that is the knowledge of the self. That also you can get by using austerity as a path. But that austerity has to be performed in this fashion then. But those who have desire for results, they also perform the austerities to fulfill those desires. They perform these austerities very nicely, but with desires that through this austerity I will get these. And thus it is not performed out of just faith in scriptures or for purification. The next verse describes that. Satkaramana pujartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. That austerity which is practiced to gain respect, honor and adoration, and that with ostentation, and which is transitory and unstable, is here said to be rajasika. That people perform it so that they will get respect in society, that this man sleeps only for 4 hours, not more than that. So you people think of you in a bit highly, or this person is so strict about diet, it is does not eat all these things, so you get some respect. You perform big fast so that people will know about it. Perform some very difficult types of austerities like as I mentioned earlier, would not put on any warm garments in winter, go out in the cold, and so forth. And then people will look, oh my goodness, I must be a great man who is venturing out without putting any warm garment in this freezing cold. So you get a sort of recognition, and people like to have recognition. Right from a little child who wants to show off to a very grown-up person, everybody has this craving that I should be recognized. My great contribution to human civilization and society must be acknowledged by everyone, and so forth. So, for that purpose you do certain things. Many times for publicity people do lot of such things that ordinarily people will shudder even at the thought of doing it. On TV sometime many years back, I saw a fellow eating lot of worms, big worms, that even to look at them it was difficult. And this fellow was eating them, and well, so got big fame, you know. 30 seconds, of course, doesn't last long. So it is, that is also mentioned here, that chalam, it comes and goes. After 30 seconds of fame and applause, then people don't remember that fellow anymore. So all this is done to make a show, to get certain desires fulfilled, because by performance of austerities you do get control, and control means power. Look at this electricity. Now electricity, if it is not under control, it is not a power for us. When it is brought under control, when we understand how it functions and is brought under control, then it becomes power. So austerities bring a sort of control on our personality, and that generates power. And this power can be used by people for fulfillment of many desires. So therefore, people with this Rajasika temperament perform lot of austerities. So even the example of Ravana is given, that performance of austerities. Why that demon Ravana? Because he knew if he performs these things, then he will get all the power and he will never be conquered by anybody. He will become immortal. He will rule over all the three worlds, and he almost succeeded in that. But see the austerities he performed. They are described that if you perform that kind of austerities. Now he was performing all of them, but the idea was not that serenity or just faith and absence of desires. All the desires were bubbling in the mind, and then he saw that by a performance of these austerities I will be very powerful. And then when you have the power, then you can get anything you want. We don't get many things that we want because we are powerless. If we get power, then I will get everything I want. So it is described that how he was performing austerities and sacrifices and so forth, to the extent that how careful and how dedicated he was. He was performing the sacrifice to Lord Shiva, and then that in that worship, the 108 lotuses were to be offered. And while they were being offered, it was found that one is less. There is only 107. Now what should be done? He took out his lotus eye, took out that eye and offered it as the 108th one by a scalpel or something. Just cut it out. Come on, take it. So the austerity up to that level was being performed. But why? For power. So this is Rajasika temperament does all this for that purpose. They will be doing fast so that people should know about it. They should get respect. They will be more powerful, and they can use this power to fulfill their other desires. Then those who are tamasika, they also will be performing penances and austerities. Their attitude will be still different. Mudhagrahen atmano yat pidaya kriyate tapah parasyotsadanartham va tattam samudaritam. That austerity which is practiced out of a foolish notion with self-torture or for the purpose of ruining another is called tamasika. That there is no understanding of how the austerities are to be performed, what kind of austerity will bring what kind of control. Just haphazardly doing something in a very unmethodical manner, that just whimsically, oh, let me do like this. And there is for 3 days that fellow will do, and then will have another idea, and it is just the torture of the body. So it is pidaya, mudhagrahen and pidaya. And the only idea is to torture the body, torture oneself. And this is very very much condemned by Lord in strongest terms. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that these people really torture God residing in their bodies. If the purpose of the austerities is just to torture one's bodies, or who gets tortured? The indweller gets tortured. And then they take pride in that. It is not the right kind of austerity. What is the use of it has to be. They never think about it. So, or sometimes they do this so that the other fellow will be ruined by that. They do this, the sacrifices or the penances, so that that other fellow, bad luck will come to that fellow, that person's whole life will be ruined. It is said that, well, people perform sacrifices with all these things. It is told of a very evil person that two neighbors, they both hated each other, and both started praying to God and fasting for that. They were fasting. So the idea was to bring ruin to the other fellow. That was the only idea. Now God decided to teach them a lesson, and so appeared in front of them and said, well, please ask boon. I am happy you have been performing austerities for such a long time. You had undergone a lot of trouble for this, but don't have to do that. Stop. What do you want? Ask any boon. It will be granted. Only thing is, what you ask for, the twice will be given to the other one. And now it became a problem, you know, asking for wealth. If I ask, that fellow is going to get double. If I ask for one car, that fellow is going to get two. If I ask for one mansion, that fellow will get two. So what to ask? And after pondering for some time, one of them said, "Lord, make me blind by one eye." That is how this person's austerity is always centered on creating problems for others, ruining others. That is the idea. So this is called tamasa. It is many times one of our Swamis used to say that, well, there was some natural calamity in one region. There was an earthquake, and he was managing some relief work in that area, giving people whatever they need. And while they were distributing certain necessary items, one angry lady came there and told, "Don't give to these people." "Well, why? If you want, you take it." No, "these people should not get." "Well, why are you interested in these people not getting? And they are here to get these things. Why you are so bent upon that these people should not get?" "And no, they are not good people." "Well, so it is, how do you determine that?" Now all this lady was trying to do was not that I should get something, but these others shouldn't get. So this idea is in people, that is the product of tamas, that even if I do not come to any good, doesn't matter, but I will not let that other fellow get any benefit. This attitude, and for that this person performs austerities. Then another thing people do as a religious practice, and that is giving donations, giving gift. It is a great thing to give gifts, because that expands your awareness, and so giving gift is considered in all different faiths a great religious practice. You give, by giving you become great, you become expanded, and so giving is practiced. But then again, these three types of attitudes, they play their role in giving. That how a sattvika person will give, a very beautiful idea, friends, that the donor has a responsibility. It is not throwing away. It is a very important act. To give something is not to be done in a thoughtless manner. The verse is, "Dātavyamiti yaddānam dīyate nupakārine deshe kāle cha pātre cha taddānam sattvikam smritam." To give is a duty, a gift given with this idea to one who will do no service in return, in a fit place and time, and to a worthy person, is known to be sattvika. To be given is mandated by scriptures. Give. What happens is you become free. The more you give, you become more free. The psychology behind this truth is very interesting. That when we say mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, everything that we say mine becomes my bondage. it is, yes, my house means it is, I am bound by that. It is my car, I am bound by that. My dollars, I am bound by that. So when you give, what happens? That with much bondage you get released from. Also, the other thing is, anyway, that will be taken away from you. If you give yourself, you will not feel the pain of it. Otherwise, not only it will be taken, everything is going to be taken away from us today or tomorrow. And if we do not give it properly, we are going to be very much pained when it is taken away from us. Imagine how much pain we feel when something that I think as mine gets snatched from me. I feel the pain of it. So, let it go and you will not feel the pain. It is going to be taken, nothing is going to be with us. That is for sure. So, give it. And when you give it with right attitude, then it is therefore liberating you. But it should not be done with, okay, so I am just throwing things. It is a methodical action. You should see who should be given what. What a person really needs and is going to be benefited by. One has to, the donor has this responsibility on that on him or her. It is not just, okay, that person is asking for it, let me give. No, that is not what one should be doing. One should therefore be very careful to whom what is being given. A thought should be paid to it. Then that a sattvika person sees, is it right to give this thing to this person, and then gives. It is therefore said that the right place should be there to give things, the right person should be there, right time should be there. This is to be observed. We are very kind. I feel, well, very kind-heartedly, anybody is asking and give something. That is not the sattvika person's attitude about it. One must see. It is that what will be the effect of this. Is this person the right recipient, the patra? That is very important. Patra means the right recipient. Is this place the right place to give? Is this time the right time to give? One must think in all these matters. Not just, okay, give. Many times it happens that you have certain things and you don't need them, or even if you need them, you feel you should give it. It is that lot of clothing from America went to India in this, some calamity. Now they wear the clothing, you know, all the woolen thick garments, they went there, and then who is going to put them on? One gentleman said, even to look at them means you start sweating, let alone putting them on. So now it is just done in a thoughtless way. So just because you want to give, you didn't think whether it is the right thing to give there. Give something that is right. In our school book there was a nice story, of course, of olden times, that one man didn't have anything to eat, and so asked person, will you give me something to eat and some money? And then that day he said, okay, this is the food for you. I won't give you money. Come tomorrow and we will see. The next day, this man goes there. He is again given food. And along with the food, this man gave him a wood cutting axe. He said, come on, take this. With this, you cut wood and then sell that, do some work, earn your money so that you develop yourself, you progress. Like that, do it. So this is the donation of the axe was done thoughtfully, not something done just out of thinking, okay, well, this man is wanting money, let me give. Especially the scriptures say that when somebody asks food, give food without giving much thought to it. The person will eat, that's it, a good thing. Don't need to think much about while giving the food. But while giving money, it is a big responsibility on donor, because that money could be used in a very wrong way. And the donor, the scriptures say the donor will get the blame for it. Because why did the donor not pay enough thought to it? It is, therefore giving money is a responsibility. Giving donation is a responsibility. It a sattvika person will do it as a responsible act and not as an irresponsible act. So therefore, a sattvika person's donation will be like that. And without any expectation that I will thus get it back. When you give with the expectation that then I will, out of this, I will get this. Then it is investment, it is not a donation. It is a different thing. You are expecting something, so not a donation. So the gift or donation should be done without expecting any result. That is how the sattvika person does it. Then the rajasika person also gives the donations, gives the gifts. But there is, because of the very temperament, the desire for the returns is there. Yattu pratyupakarartham phalam uddishya vapunaha diyate cha parikrishtam taddanam rajasam smritam. That gift, however, which is given with a view to receiving in return, or looking for its fruit, or grudgingly, is said to be rajasika. That it is given grudgingly, that, oh, so many people, they are giving. It doesn't look that I don't give, people will criticize. So grudgingly this person gives, or gives it with the idea that, okay, I will get something out of it. It is, or my donation will be remembered, and I will get something in return for it. So all these ideas, they come spontaneously in such a person. Not that that person deliberately is doing that. It is the that attitude of that person, rajasika attitude, automatically makes a person give donation, give gifts with this attitude. A sattvika attitude, a rajasika attitude, it percolates in everything that a person does. Then the tamasika person also gives donations. It is that thoughtlessly. Adesha kale yad danam apatre bhyascha diyate asatkritam avajnatam tattam samudaritam. The gift that is given at the wrong place and time and to unworthy persons without regard and disdainfully is said to be tamasika. Quite self-explanatory that the donation is given in this way, that with disdain. It is like throwing something to that person, not with proper respect, and given without considering, well, is this person the right recipient for it? Given at wrong time, wrong place, wrong idea, there is no really thought about it. It is the tamasika danam. So, this in giving donations also, these three attitudes play. The idea is that whatever religious or spiritual practices one undertakes, these attitudes will play a role, and so one should be cautious that let the sattvika temperament become stronger and stronger, so that these spiritual actions will culminate or will contribute to the spiritual progress. So this is the idea in telling that yes, you should of course do that. In 18th chapter again this has been told, that these actions like performing austerities, performing sacrifices or giving gifts, these are to be continued. These are not to be stopped. It is not that one decides, okay, till I become perfectly sattvika, I will never perform any austerity. And not like that. It should be performed, but while doing that, we have to see that how our temperament can become more and more sattvika, more and more clear. Sattvika means serene, quiet, spiritually oriented, and kind of pure. So, when we try to do like that, all our actions, especially the spiritual activities which are described here, they change internally. Their external shape may remain the same. Like somebody was giving donation, whatever figure, donation figure was being given. Now, as that person was giving it with a tamasika attitude, okay, let me give, otherwise the people will criticize me. So, and also without any thinking that how it will be used or will, no thought about it, at least then rajasika temperament can come there, that yes, okay, this I am giving, by giving this maybe I will get these results as the outcome of it. It will be very good. So people give donations with that. One starts, the amount may remain the same, X dollars, but the attitude changes. With sattvika temperament, the externally the donation will remain same, externally the worship will remain same, but the inner content will change. So that is described here. Then the next verse describes that it really is not a part of the answer to Arjuna's question, really speaking, but it is in a way. externally speaking, for academic purposes, one may wonder that what is the connection of these verses to Arjuna's question. Doesn't appear to be so, but it is always a great thing you see in Bhagavad Gita, that the question asked and questions which were in the mind but not asked, and they also are understood by the Lord and answered. The question of Arjuna was only limited to that whether somebody does these actions with faith. Even if that person doesn't know the scriptures, will it be okay? And in that description, that answer up to now, Lord was telling that how the faith has different varieties, and how the actions performed through faith, all the spiritual actions too, therefore are varied. Now, he tells that a very basic thing in spiritual actions that one takes up, that remembrance of God, remember God, think of God, and then do it. And how that is to be done? That take the name of God or the thought of God while doing each of these actions, that will convert those actions into spiritual actions gradually, if not immediately, gradually, because of the connection of the spiritual idea there. And so it is said in the 23rd verse, Om Tatsaditi Nirdesho Brahmanas Trividhas Vritaha Brahmanas Tena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihitapura. Om Tat Sat. This is considered to be the threefold designation of Brahman. By that were fashioned of old the Brahmanas, the Vedas, and sacrifices. They, Om Tat Sat. Om is the symbol and the name of God, both. Name as well as symbol for God. All these names are contained in Om, and therefore Om is the designated sound symbol, most appropriate sound symbol, or the name of the absolute reality, the truth, or God. Then Tat. Tat means that. It is a pronoun. And then the pronoun and noun. Noun is for a particular thing, and pronoun can be used for everything. And that can be applied to any person. Anybody can be considered that. Anything, anybody. If you say name Richard, means a particular person, but when you say that person, then anybody gets referred by that. So that, therefore, is a way of understanding Brahman, that it is everywhere, pervaded everywhere, in everything that is there. Therefore that, Om Tat. That Brahman is thatness. So, also, third thing, Sat, that is truth. Brahman is truth. It is the truth in everything. Om Tat Sat. So, with these three, the Brahman is or the ultimate truth is designated or understood or felt, and from this arise all the spiritual actions, like the Brahmanaha, means those who are inclined to spiritual practice. That class of people who want to fulfill this goal, ultimate goal of life, they are called Brahmanas here, not a particular social caste. And that is not what is referred to here by this word Brahmana, that just being a Brahmin by caste doesn't make really anybody automatically spiritually oriented. And even if somebody is not at all connected to that caste, yet can be a Brahmana in this sense that the goal of that person's life is spiritual. So that is Brahmana. And the scriptures also come out of that, and yajñas means the sacrifices and the other spiritual practices, they come out of this Om Tat Sat. So we shall continue this discussion later in the next class, which will not be next Friday. Next Friday there will be another special program here. So the Friday after that we shall have this next few verses of this 17th chapter completed. So any questions? Yes, Richard?
I haven't fasted for 40 years, mm-hmm. but my recollection is that when I did, it tended to slow the ball down so that I could feel more of a sense of self within. It kind of polished the mirror, polished the lens a little bit, so that I felt more in touch with true self, and that the body was not me. It's kind of a good feeling. What would you comment on that?
Well, it is correct that anything that you do, as you did, whatever times you did fasting, you got this sense. It is true that if one does perform these austerities, it gives you a control. And thus, what does it mean, you get control over the bodies? You mentioned that. See, you get control over the body means you have this sense that I am not the body. And thus you get a control over it. To the extent we see that you and your body are not same, and to that extent you can get the control over it. If we are identified with it, then who is to control whom, you know? There is no possibility. Even the word becomes meaningless to control. So fasting is to some extent it does help to get that feeling. So good, since you know that now, you can do it. Don't do it too much, I mean, but yes, you can do, say for example, once a week you can stop eating lunch or some such things, you know. So maybe then after graduating in this, you can go to, well, once a week I will not take any food at all. I will take just water and so forth. Don't do it too much. It should not affect your health. So do it according to what is, you know, what doesn't hamper in your health or activities. Yes, Shabani.
And then perform the action, then the human system
No, see the question is that when you read scriptures or when you do not read scriptures, when you are doing it according to scriptures or not according to scriptures, this remains that your gunas, your composition of your personality will intervene in that. Whether you know the scriptures or whether you don't know the scriptures. This was Arjuna's question was of course about not knowing the scriptures. But this becomes applicable, this particular aspect becomes still applicable even if that person has the understanding of scriptures. Because you cannot really separate yourself from these gunas which make really a person. So inadvertently, or even if one is trying to stop, still it gets into it, whether one knows the scriptures or doesn't know. The advantage of knowing the scriptures is that you know that the scriptures condemn this. And the Rajasika and Tamasika and tell us to become more Sattvika. So, you will put more efforts to do these things with Sattvika temperament and try to consciously eliminate Rajasika and Tamasika. But otherwise in the scriptural studies also these attitudes do come. One can know all the scriptures but study it with the Sattvika temperament or Rajasika temperament or Tamasika temperament. So this is actually described in the 14th chapter a lot, that how these attitudes they dominate all types of behaviors that we have. Well, the focus of Arjuna's question and the answer was about faith. That if you do it as a matter of faith, then what happens? And there the answer was given that the faith also has these three varieties. Not only faith means all very good, but even the faith also has these three types of constitution determine the kind of faith one has. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.